Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Joining us on the line, Lance Abramson. He is the chairman of Hatzolah. A very, very good morning. How are you?
Hi, Howard. Good, thank you. And you?
Yeah, excellent. Thank you. So, when I first read that notice, I thought, I wondered what Hatzolah, how involved Hatzolah is in COVID. And then I spoke to a number of doctors and they told me about the incredible work that you guys are doing in helping or in assisting the hospitals in people actually staying home. So just give us a sense of Hatzolah's involvement in this pandemic.
Sure. So we launched just when the pandemic started what we call our COVID home wellness monitoring program. And basically what the program does is if a person tests positive for COVID, they register with us, and I'll give you the details a bit later of how to do that for people who are listening. We then send one of our volunteers to the person's house and we deliver to them oxygen saturation monitor and a thermometer, and we register them on the program, and then our dispatch team calls them once or twice a day and gets them to take readings of their oxygen saturation, their pulse, a temperature, and a respiration rate. We built a spreadsheet, and that information is populated into a spreadsheet, and there's intelligence built into the back end of the spreadsheet, which then trends the patient based on their readings over time. And based on that can tell us if this patient is stable, is deteriorating, or needs to be transported to hospital. All of this information is then fed back to the patient's doctor. We liaise closely with the doctors that are looking after the patients. And in this way, we can more closely monitor the patients. And if we do need to transport them to hospital, do that in a safe and non-emergency kind of way, because we can preempt that emergency call out. So when we started, we launched the program. Obviously, there were not a lot of COVID positive cases in the community in the beginning, and then we've seen the numbers climbing over the last kind of week to 10 days. Mm-hmm. Beginning of last week, we had 4 active cases on the program. And today we've now got 46 active COVID cases on the program. And that number's climbing every day. The phone calls are coming through and the numbers are climbing. We're also aware of lots of other COVID positive people that are not on the program. There's also the COVID positive patients that we've unfortunately had to transport to hospital. And when you put all of that together, you get very much a picture that COVID is unfortunately alive and well in the Jewish community.
Yeah, very, very scary. The one thing that I did notice as well, speaking to a few of my friends who unfortunately are COVID positive, is that the anxiety and the fear around a positive diagnosis is quite significant. And I'm just realizing as you are talking how comforting this kind of a program must be for people, knowing that they're being properly monitored, that they've got these saturation monitoring kits, that they know that there is somebody that's keeping an eye on how they're doing, and they don't feel just completely alone and panicked.
Yes, that's very much so. Howard, the feedback from the dispatchers is very much that the people really appreciate the calls. They really appreciate that having that contact, that constant contact, to see that their readings are okay, because most people are okay, do okay with the virus. And really to know that if they do need assistance, there is someone there for them. And if things do need to be escalated, unfortunately, that can be done in a safe and calm way, really.
Yeah. What's also interesting to me about this is that very often, most of the information that we get around COVID comes from the people in the front lines, and by front lines in this sense, I'm referring to the doctors, and they're dealing with the very serious cases, the ones that as you say, unfortunately, land up in hospital, whether it's in high care or ICU, etc. But we don't have a tremendous amount of information, it would seem, around people who are able to stay home and work through this virus from a home perspective. The information that you're gathering, I would imagine, is absolutely invaluable to anybody that's trying to plot and understand this disease.
Yes, definitely. I mean, it is giving us information on how COVID is in the community. And I think there's a sense of, my impression is people don't know that it's rife in the community, really. When you just hear stories of kind of dinner parties and poker evenings and that kind of thing. And I think there's a sense out there that it's not in the Jewish community.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why we felt it was really important to let people know that it is here.
Right.
And that as the economy opens up, the numbers are just climbing. That's where the numbers are going from, yeah?
So that,
and we need to stay safe.
Yeah, and I think that is, first of all, I just want to say to our listeners that I said I played poker last night. It was on Zoom. I just want to be, is the 90?
Yes, I got it.
Just to be very, very clear about that. We used Zoom. We use Zoom and for communication, and then we use one of those apps. I just want to be very clear about that.
That's
and Hatzolah of all groups is not against poker because that's how they do some of the best fundraising. So we're not knocking poker at all. But
No, I'm
playing. But it is a very real concern, and this is the theme that whether we speak to Dr. Anton Meyerberg, whether we speak to you, who no matter who we're speaking to, there is almost this, I don't want to say desperation because you're certainly not coming across that way, but this need for people to actually wake up and see how rife this is in our community and how dangerous irresponsible behavior can be to the spread of this virus.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it's one thing that, okay, we have to go to work, we have to go to the shops, etc. But and also, I mean, as we said in the communication, everybody has lockdown fatigue. You know, we'd all love to get out.
Of course.
We'd love to see our friends. We'd love to go on trips, etc. One of the doctors commented to me that actually everything up until now has just been a dress rehearsal for what's coming. And so too for lockdown. We just, unfortunately, we have to stay locked down. Personally, as the public space opens up, personally, we need to kind of lock down, not in a panicked way, Howard. I know there's lots of anxiety, there's lots of, tension, there's lots of people are understandably worried and tense, and there's economic issues, etc. It's to try and do it in a kind of positive, safe, we're keeping safe, I have friends, if they come and visit from overseas, they can't believe our high walls and electric fences. We've come to live with that reality, and it doesn't bother us.
Yeah,
you
get
know.
Used to it.
We get used to it. And the thing here is to try and just get used to it in as best we can. And we just do these things to keep safe, and we're not going to get stuck in a negative space around it.
Well, I think that's the important thing as well. And I think what Hatzolah is doing is contributing so positively to people's mental well-being, because that really does help. What are you seeing in terms of, the friends that I've chatted to who have COVID, the one thing I haven't actually asked them, because it's really been a focus on them, is how the families are coping. Are you seeing that when one person gets it, are they now, is it too late to isolate yourself from your own family with whom you're living, or is it just kind of accepted if one person's got it, then there's a good chance that somebody else will have it in the family? You keep an eye on them, but don't necessarily monitor them in the same way.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not too late. We are seeing one family member get it and not other family members. Mm-hmm. So certainly if somebody is tested COVID positive, they do need to isolate themselves.
Right. Okay.
That in and of itself is not easy, being kind of, locked up in one room, etc. That's not an easy thing to do, but it is very important, because if it hasn't been transmitted to the family up until that point, then, we want to keep the rest of the family safe.
Okay, so we still do that, even if you've been living with a person and you might have already exposed them, you still isolate until, you don't absolutely confirm the transmission, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's only to come out of isolation when it's safe to do so. And that's a discussion with your doctors, with medical advisors.
Mm.
They'll tell you when it's safe to come out, and then, you know, what to do. I mean, obviously the room that you're in has now been contaminated, let's
sure.
call it.
Right, exactly.
So you can't, like, really move out that room and have the next person move into that room the same day type
right,
thing, you
right.
know?
Very, very, very interesting yeah. and very frightening indeed. I mean, you're speaking at this stage that there are around about 40, mid-40s cases within the community. In terms of growth, what would you expect over the next 2 weeks?
So there's a lot more than the mid-40s, because the mid-40s are just the cases that we're looking after on the home wellness program. There's lots of cases that we know of that have contacted us but have, for whatever reason, decided not to join the program. Mm-hmm. And there are also lots of cases that we have
transported.
Actually transported to hospital.
So
that was not a home wellness program. So, I mean, it's just a sample. There must be hundreds if you extrapolate that upwards. And yes, as I say, it's every day. People are phoning. I mean, I can hear the phone going every hour, you know, with new people joining the program. And, it's just the beginning. It's only going to go up from here. And the best way, the best thing we can do to kind of minimize that spread, so that people, you know, as few people get it as possible, is to look, it's definitely safe at home, right? That was our message out there. But if you do have to go out, you put in place all of the requirements, the social distancing, wearing masks, sanitizing hands. They've all been scientifically shown to reduce the spread of the disease. So if a person does need to go out, to be very rigorous with those tools that we have.
Before I let you go, how does somebody register, or how do they get hold of you to register? And if people want to contribute to this, because it certainly has got to come at a tremendous cost to the organization.
Yes. Yeah, no, absolutely. We've spent an enormous amount of money both on the home wellness project monitoring, but also in the ambulance service. In terms of PPE and equipment that we've needed to treat COVID patients, et cetera, it's been an enormous expense. So I'll give you the details now. For the home wellness monitoring, there's a number I can give you to call, and that's 060-985-7030. 060-985-7030. There's also a separate website for that where you can register if you prefer to do it online, which is www.atsolawellness.co.za. Okay. And that's www.atsolawellness.co.za. And if anybody would like to contribute towards Atsola, that would be much appreciated, and that you can do on our normal website, which is just www.atsola.co.za.